Bruchim Abayim, everybody. Welcome to Insights into the Parsha, Parsha's Vayishlach. This year is being sponsored, firstly, by David and Ellen Krieger. We're very grateful for your sponsorship. It's to commemorate that now, tonight actually, Yud Gimel Kislev, is the 28th yahrzeit of David's mother, Glicka Bas Reb Avraham. We're very grateful to you and to David for the sponsorship. And Be'ezras Hashem, the learning and the chizuk that come from tonight's shir, imagine to be able to come together in the heichal over the phone, those who will hear the recording, to enjoy Parsha insights into Parsha's Vayishlach. And as we always say, to enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. We're grateful to the Krieger Mishpacha for their sponsorship. As we said, tonight is the 28th yahrzeit. 28 is Begematria Koyach. And the shir should be Lizecher Nishmas Uli'ili Nishmas, the Neshama Tahira Glicka Basra Bavrom, for her Neshama Tahira to continue having a Lichta Gan Eden. The shir is also being sponsored tonight and for the entire year, a one-year sponsorship each and every week that we have the Parsha Insights beginning tonight in memory of Rebecca Bas Serena, as well as her husband, Leon Ben Rachel, by their family. And Be'ezras Hashem, we're mispalel that their neshama tahira, the pure neshama of Rebecca Bas Serena and Leon Ben Rachel, should have each one a lichtig, gan eden. The shir tonight and for the entire year is lezecher ule'ili nishmasam. Take a look, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. When Yaakov Avinu is talking about being saved from his brother Esav, the Pasuk says, Lamed Beis, Yud Beis. Hatzileini no miyad ochi miyad Esav. He's asking that the Ribbono Shel Olam please rescue him and save him from the hands of his brother, from the hands of Esav. And obviously, if you're looking inside, you wonder, why is it that the Pasuk is divided? It seems to be saying two separate expressions, Miyad Ochi, and then Miyad Esav. We know that Esav was his brother. If you say Ochi, why do you need to say Esav? And if you say Esav, why, pray tell, do you need to say Ochi? This is a well-known question, and the great Beis Halevi, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, the Beis Halevi, asks and explains that when Yaakov Avinu is beseeching Hashem with prayer, with tefillah, to be saved, he is expressing that sometimes I may be faced that the one who comes and attacks me is Ochi, and sometimes it's Esav. And you'll ask the question, isn't that one and the same? The Beis Halevi says so powerfully, Esav is a reference to when he threatens to attack Yaakov and Klal Yisrael in a physical sense. But there's something that's even more alarming, more frightening than the Esav. And that is when the enemy approaches Miyad Ochi, like he's our brother. He comes very cordial and tries to invite us, to entice us. That's an attack not against our physicality, not against the physical, but an attack against the spirit of Klal Yisrael, the soul of Klal Yisrael, the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. And Yaakov Avinu was beseeching Hashem, please save me, whether the attack comes miyad Esav, or even more frightening and more alarming, Miyad Ochi. Sometimes the attack is in the physical sense, and sometimes the attack from our enemy is in the spiritual sense, when they attack our values, our ashkafa, our morals, our soul and our spirit of what defines us. And so Yaakov Avinu is reminding us today how much we have to beseech Hashem, please save us from the danger of not only when they approach us as Esav, but even more importantly and more alarming, when it's the Ochi that's under attack. I don't think more needs to be said how we see today in so many ways different nations, different people, different foreign ideologies attack our very soul, our neshama, our spirit, the heart of Klal Yisrael. And on that, we're being taught how extremely careful we have to be on guard. However, you might recall there's a pshat that we've said on many, many occasions. I heard this from one of the great lights of our generation, Rebbe Ephraim Waxman, Zoller Gesund und Stark Sein. And it's a pshat that we've said on many occasions, but it ties in so beautifully. Be on guard, whether you're attacked or the onslaught comes as Esav or in the form and guise of Achi. Chazal tell us, Heichon kurasei shel Moshe, where's Moshe Rabbeinu buried? Yeshayrim lemala v'yeshayrim lemata, some say up in heaven, some say down on earth. But the Torah tells us, lo yada ishes kurasei, we don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. Listen to a beautiful pshat and how well it ties in to what we said from the Heilige Beis Halevi. There's another way to translate these words of Chazal, and it's so inspiring. Every generation where they seek to destroy us, as we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Bechol Dor Vador, Oindim Aleinu L'Chaleseinu, in every generation they seek to destroy us. And this is how to read the words of Chazal. Heichon kurasei shel Moshe means the enemies wonder in every generation, how do we bury Das Moshe? How do we get rid of Klal Yisrael? What could we do to bury Klal Yisrael and all that they represent? Yeshoyrim, some generations say, Lemala, raise them up. Be exceedingly friendly. Cause them to intermarry, to have association with them on a social level, similar to what we said from the Beis Halevi, the Miyad Ochi. The Yeshayim and some generations say, Lamata, step on them, persecute them, the wars, the attacking us in a physical sense, comparable to what the Beis Halevi said, Miyad Esav. The Hatayra Amra, but the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, Lo yada ishes kurasai. You'll never successfully get rid of Klal Yisrael. Sometimes we are attacked, and sometimes there are great losses. But Klal Yisrael bounces back with a resiliency, with a strength, with a chizuk and a fortitude. Sometimes it seems inexplicable. And yet Klal Yisrael is here, strong, with a vibrancy. And I think those two pshatim go hand in hand beautifully. When the generations seek to attack us lamala by causing us to intermarry, socialize, let's get friendlier, that would be comparable to the Miyad Ochi. Beware. When it says that they attack us lamata, persecution, tachvatat, expulsion, an inquisition, a holocaust, that would be comparable to the Miyad Esav. The Hatayra Amra, but the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, Lo yada ishes kurasai. You might seem to find some success, but Klal Yisrael is ultimately here to stay. Perhaps one explanation of how we display this resiliency in each and every generation, I'd like to share with you one of the most it's a short story, not more than a minute, but one of the most beautiful, beautiful stories that just makes you realize Klal Yisrael, our strength, our resiliency, they try Achi, they try Esav, they try Lamala, they try Lamata, and yet look at us. We're still here. Today, on the 12th of Kislev, was the yard site of the Bas Ayin. Many people knew to celebrate the yard site today of the Heilige, Heilige Bas Ayin, which was today the 12th of Kislev. Reb Avrom Dov Orbach, who lived in the mid-1800s, the Heilige Bas Ayin, he came to Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Chodesh Elul. And he settled at that point, he was invited to Tzfas. And he told the community of Tzfas, this is going back many years ago, that he would remain with them for Chodesh Elul and the Yomim Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, Sukkot, Simchas Torah. But after Simchas Torah, he was moving to Yerushalayim from Tzfas. But something happened that changed. And he announced after Simchas Torah that he was remaining in Tzfas. What occurred? Why change from the original itinerary? It was a Shana Rabba, which is just the day before Shmini Atzeres. And the Bas Ayin was walking, and Rabbi Avram Dov Orbach overheard a conversation between a mother and her young son, Yerachmiel. And when he overheard that conversation, he said, I'm choosing to remain in Tzfas. The Bas Ayin overheard a mother tell her son, please go to the roof quickly and gather in all of the carpets. Take the carpets in off the roof and bring it into the house. The mother went on to explain, tomorrow in Shmini Atzeres, Klal Yisrael does Birchas Geshem, Tfilas Geshem. Klal Yisrael is going to daven Tfilas Geshem. It's sure to rain. There's going to be a torrential downpour. The carpets are going to get soaked. Please now bring them in. They should get in off the roof and into the house so we don't lose the carpets. That was the emuna of the Yiddish mother. She was so sure Klal Yisrael is going to daven Tfilas Geshem. Tfilas Geshem means it's going to rain. If it's going to rain, it's going to ruin the carpets. Bring them in now in Hoshana Rabbah. When the Bas Ayin heard that conversation where a mother told her young son Yerachmiel to do that, the emuna that she exhibited, the power of the emuna, the tefillah of Klal Yisrael, the Bas Ayin said, I'm going to remain to be surrounded by such people. Klal Yisrael is still here. They try Ochi, they try Esav, they try Lamala, they try Lamata, but we have Emuna. We have Emuna in the Koyach HaTfilah. We have Emuna in each other. We have Emuna that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Velo Yada Ish Es Kurasai, Klal Yisrael is here to stay. So great was the Emuna exhibited by that woman to her son in the power of prayer that the Bas Ayin said, I'm choosing to remain here in Tzfas. Now, a little bit later on, we know that Yaakov, his name is changed to Yisrael. I realize that the pshat that I'm about to share with you, in full disclosure, we've said many, many times. The reason that I'm choosing to repeat it is, firstly, I think it goes very well with the three pshat that we've said until now. And I heard a new pshat, a gematria, that will make it even sweeter. If you take a look a few psukim later, Yaakov's name is changed to Yisrael. The pasuk tells us, Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Choftes, Lamed Beis Choftes. Yaakov is asked, what's your name? He answers, Yaakov. To which the guardian angel of Esav answers in a pasuk, now your name is going to be Yisrael, ki sarisa im Elokim v'im anoshim v'tuchol. I'm changing your name to Yisrael because etymologically the root of the word Yisrael is sarisa. And on this night, Yaakov fought and struggled with the guardian angel of Esav, Reb Leibele Eger says, I don't understand. For perpetuity, everyone in this room, each and every one of you that I'm looking at, you now have a title. You're a Bas Yisrael. All those that I'm looking at here in the Heichal, you have the title of being a Ben Yisroel. Why Yisroel? From this pasuk. Because the root of the word Yisroel is Sarisa. You fought and you struggled with the angel, Im Alekim v'im Anashim. But what's the last word of the pasuk? Vatuchal. Vatuchal means you overcame and you won. So the great Reb Leibel Eger asks the question that we've said countless times. Why is the name given for perpetuity Yisrael from the word Sarisa, but the word Vatuchal means you won? Isn't the importance that you won? So etymologically, our name should come from Vatuchal. It should be Bas Yituchal. It would only sound awkward or funny because we're not used to it. But why does our name come from the word Sarisa and not what would seem to be the more obvious choice, Vatuchal, you won? Says Reb Leibel Eger Zechusa Yagan Aleinu, you won. You won. What do you think the definition of winning is? How are you interpreting in your mind you won? The outside world will tell you the definition of winning is you're too cool for school. You have a 4.3 GPA. You got 100 on the test. You're in the 1 percentile. You won the gold medal. That's the definition of winning. But that's not the Ribbono Shel Olam's definition of winning. The Ribbono Shel Olam's definition of winning is, did you try? Did you put in the struggle? Did you persevere? Because if you could answer yes to those three questions, then you're a winner. The world will have you believe that the definition of winning is all those things I said a moment ago. Number one in the class, the 1 percentile, the gold medal. The Ribbono Shel Olam's definition of winning is, Sarisa, did you fight? Did you struggle? Did you try? Did you put in the effort? Did you persevere? Because if the answer to those questions is yes, you've earned the greatest title of all. You're a winner. What type of winner? Bas Yisroel, Ben Yisroel, from the word Sarisa. Because Sarisa means you struggled and you tried. And that is what makes you a winner. And I thought that that goes very nicely with what we explained until now. V'lo yada ish es kurasai, we are still here. Although in each generation we are attacked either as Ochi or Esav, the spiritual or the physical. Some generations it's Lamala, some generations it's Lamata. Through our emuna, we persevere. Through our emuna, we earn the title Sarisa, we keep trying, we struggle, we bounce back, we persevere, we overcome, we are winners. And I'll prove it to you. Listen to a beautiful, beautiful, delicious gematria. On this evening, as dawn was breaking, Yaakov earned the name Yisrael. He was successful over the guardian angel of Esav. That means essentially he was successful over Satan. He acquired, he won, he defeated Satan. And he earned the name Yisrael. What's the gematria of the name Yaakov, Yud Ayin Kuf Vez? Exactly 182. What's the gematria of the name Satan Shin Tes Nun? Exactly 359. If you add those two numbers together, 182 and 359, it's exactly 541. Yisrael Yud Shin Reish Aleph Lamed is exactly 541. So when Yaakov Avinu will persevere, he'll put in the challenge, he'll put in the effort, you win. You overcome Satan. So to speak, you acquire Satan. Yaakov plus Satan. 182 plus 359 is exactly 541. Yisrael, the greatest title of all, is exactly 5:41. And to conclude all the Divrei Torah we've said until now, it's brought down in the name of the Tashbats. The Tashbats, who was a Talmud of the Maharam, tells us the beauty of the name Yisrael is that Yisrael, those letters, Yud Shin Resh Aleph Lamed, those letters are initials for all of the Avos and all of the Imahos, essentially representing all of Klal Yisrael. The Yud, of course, stands for Yitzchak and Yaakov. The next letter of Yisrael, the Shin or the Sin, stands for Sarah. The third letter of Yisrael, the Resh, stands for Rachel and Rivka. The Aleph, of course, stands for Avraham. And the last letter, the Lamed, for Leah. So in the letters of Yisrael, which we just said represent that we're winners, we struggled, we persevered, we took the challenge, we overcame. You have in Yud Shin Resh Aleph Lamed the letters of all the Avos, all the Imahos, essentially representing each and every Yid. If you take a look in the next pasuk, look inside, please. Lamed Beis Lamed. In Lamed Beis Lamed, the angel of Esav asks Yaakov, "What's your name?" Excuse me. Yaakov asks, "What's your name?" And he answers, "Lamazet Tishalishmi." Why are you asking my name? There is a pshat that we've said in previous years. I'll briefly mention it because I want to give it a little bit of an added dimension. How do you understand the answer of the angel of Esav answering in Pasuk Lamed, "Lamazet Tishalishmi, why are you asking my name?" We explained previously in the name of the great Reb Leib Chassman. Reb Leib Chassman, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, tells us he wasn't just answering, "Why are you asking my name?" He was essentially saying, "This is my name. Lama ze tishal lishmi. Why are you asking my name? Is my name. My name is, don't think. Don't ask. Don't care. Don't spend time contemplating. Lama ze tishal lishmi, why are you asking my name?" is another way of saying, don't think, don't contemplate, don't ask. That, says the angel of Esav, is who I am. And that's really one of the things that creates a downfall of the Yid. When we don't think, when we don't inquire, we don't ask, we don't care. Lama ze tishal lishmi is not merely don't ask my name. The don't ask, don't care, don't inquire, don't contemplate, that is the name of Satan. And that's a pshat we've said in the past, but it got me to thinking that would mean that the antithesis of Lama ze tishal lishmi, what is a Yid? A Yid is when our name becomes tishal lishmi. Tishal lishmi means I am asking, I am inquiring, I am contemplating, and I do care. If the name of Satan is don't ask and don't care and don't inquire and don't contemplate, then who is a Yid? What is our name and essence? In fact, neshama, which is our soul, our essence, what are the two inner letters of neshama? Nun, shin, mem, hey, what are the two center letters? Shin and mem, shame. Your name is your essence. Our name, which is our essence, is tishalishmi. Ask, care, inquire, contemplate. Show a fellow Yid you're asking because you care. If Satan represents don't, then the shame, the center of neshama, our essence is, do ask, do care, do inquire. This past Shabbos in our Parsha Shir, I said over two extraordinary stories. the great Maggid Reb Yaakov Galinsky, Zeche Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, very often he would recount a Bechina Faher that he got from the Godel Hador, the leader of world Jewry, Reb Chaim Eiser. Many yeshivas relocated to Vilna as World War II was starting. Yaakov Galinsky, as a teenager, as a boy, he was one of those. As a teenager, Yaakov Galinsky found himself the next day he was going to have a faher, a bechina. He was going to get asked questions by the great, great Reb Chaim Eiser. Whenever he recounted the story, he repeated that he prepared a shtickel in Yevamos. He prepared a good, good shtickel Torah in Yevamos. And then he got there prepared for the shtickel Torah, and the faher, the bechina, the questioning from Reb Chaim Eiser started. And these were the questions that constituted the faher from Reb Chaim Eiser. When is the last time that you spoke and saw your parents? Question number two, do you have a proper bed and accommodations on which to sleep? Question number three, show me your shoes. And when he took off his shoes and showed him that his shoes were torn and tattered, Reb Chaim Eiser took out money to give him money to buy a new pair of shoes. Decades later, Yaakov Galinsky recounted, that was my faher from the great Reb Chaim Eiser. I went in preparing a shtickel on Yevamos, and what was the bechina? The bechina was essentially a bechina and a faher of tishalishmi, to inquire, to care, to ask and to contemplate. When did you see and speak to your parents? Do you have proper clothing and a proper place to sleep and money for a new pair of shoes? That's the essence of who we are. This past week, a major Goyin, a tremendous Goyin, Reb Shmuel David HaKoyin Friedman, Zoller Gesund und Stark Sein, told me over with this concept of caring, an incredible Maisa. Almost 100 or a bit, similar to 100 years ago, that this is Zalman Meltzer. The great Rosh Yeshiva of this is Zalman, the father-in-law of Baron Kotler, he was appointed the Rosh Yeshiva of Eitz Chaim. On the first day that Rebbe Zalman was appointed the Rosh Yeshiva of Eitz Chaim, he went to a small area in Yerushalayim called Batei Nathan. The head Rav, Reb Yisrael Reisman, on the first day that Reb Zalman was appointed Rosh Yeshiva, he found the Rav in Batei Nathan, Reb Yisrael Reisman, and he said, I was appointed Rosh Yeshiva today, and I want to thank you. Moriah v'Rabbosai, listen to this story well. Reb Yisrael Reisman turned to Reb Zalman, he said, I appreciate you thanking me. I don't know why you're thanking me. I don't know who you are. And this is what Reb Zalman told him on the day he became appointed Rosh Yeshiva. Years earlier, when he was a young boy, he was accepted into Yeshivas Voloshin. The Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Voloshin was the great Nitziv. And on the night that he arrived in Voloshin, his clothing was torn, his clothing was tattered, and Rebbe Zalman said he had felt a bit self-conscious, or he had felt the other Bochum didn't have that type of clothing, and so maybe he felt a little bit badly, or were the others looking or noticing. He made up the next morning he was leaving Voloshin. In the morning, Reb Zalman started to leave the yeshiva, a young boy. As he was down the path of the Voloshin yeshiva, an older bacher, one of the older in the yeshiva, came running after him and said, are you the new boy that came, Mrs. Zalman Meltzer? You just came yesterday? He answered, yes. He said, I want to tell you what happened last night. The Rosh Yeshiva, the Netziv, came over to me. This is what the older bacher is saying. And the Netziv told me, I just asked the Kash on Tosfos. And the new boy, the young boy that came, Mrs. Alman, gave me a myridika answer. That's what the Netziv told me about your answer last night. And then the Netziv added and told me these words. I see from that answer that one day he's going to grow up to become a Rosh Hashiva. And Mrs. Zalman looked at Rabbi Yisrael Reisman and said, you were the one in Volozhin that came and gave me the message from the Netziv. You were the one that as I was leaving, you came over to me and you told me the message from the Netziv, that because of my answer, the Netziv said, he thinks I'm going to grow up to become a Rosh Hashiva. So today, when indeed I became a Rosh Hashiva Beitz Chaim, I found you to tell you, thank you. Because it was you who came after me as I was leaving the yeshiva and told me the words of the Netziv. And today, seeing the fulfillment of those words as a Rosh Hashiva, I came to say thank you. That story represents that our name is Tishalishmi. Ask, inquire, think, care, contemplate. That is our name, and that is our essence. I want to end with one Dvar Torah and one story. For me, it's actually personal. Take a look at the first pasuk in Perek Lamed Beis. Yaakov Avinu, the pasuk tells us, he lifts up his eyes. Vayisa Yaakov Einav, and upon lifting up his eyes, he sees Esav is coming. Arba Meos Ish, he's coming with 400 men. Right? We know there's a beautiful song for children. Esav is coming, 400 men. Yaakov Davin to Hashem. There is a story that my father Zatzal brings down in Imre Mordechai that he experienced personally. It's one of the greatest, greatest, most epic stories you could want to hear. And after my father said the story, I told to my father Zatzal something based on this pasuk that I just read you. Read the words again. Vayisa Yaakov, Einav, Yaakov lifted up his eyes and he saw Esav was coming, Arba Meyos Ish, with 400 men. In the Sefer Mer Mordechai, my father Zatzal brings down a Maisa. I'll read it, translating the Hebrew into English. When a Talmud was sent from Lakewood to Eretz Yisrael, one of the things that the Rashiva Rabarim, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, told the Bochrim was, if you meet a Yid, any Yid, that had any type of Kesher connection with the great Goyin HaGoyinim, Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, go and get a Maisa. Go and hear about Rabbi Yeshua Leib Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha. And then come back, and when you're back in America, you'll tell me the story. Now, in those years, in the early 1950s, for somebody to properly have known Rabbi Yeshua Leib, who was Nifter, I believe the year was 1898, the person at that time had to have been 70, if not more, to have properly known Rabbi Yeshua Leib. My father says how one night when he was in the Chevron Yeshiva, he was going to sleep, and somebody told him that there's an elderly Yid in the Moshev Zekanim, which means the old age home, in Petach Tikva. I'm reading it to you verbatim. I'm saying it in English. The name of the Yid, my father was told, was Reb Moshe Rosenbaum. He knew Reb Yeshua Leib Diskin. My father said that he immediately got dressed. He went down to the Tachana Merkazit. He went and took a Sherut to Tel Aviv and another one from there to Petach Tikva. He arrived 5 o'clock in the morning. At that time, he walked into the Beis Medrash. It was still dark. There were four Jews sitting in the Beis Medrash. He went over to one of them and he asked, do you know Reb Moshe Rosenbaum? And they pointed, one of those four, that is Reb Moshe Rosenbaum that you're looking for. My father said that he sat with him until 10 o'clock in the morning, gathering Maisa's different stories from Rabbi Yeshua Leib one after the other. Here was one of the stories that this elderly Yid, Reb Moshe Rosenbaum, told my father Zatzal on those wee hours of the morning. One time, Rabbi Yeshua Leib was with a number of Gedolim. They wanted to speak together, and they went for a walk getting some fresh air. They passed an apple orchard. At that point, one of them said to Rabbi Yeshua Leib, who was renowned for his incredible head, his mayach, everything about how his brain worked. One of them asked Rabbi Yeshua Leib, who glanced at the tree for a moment, how many apples are on that tree? Rabbi Yeshua Leib went around the base of the tree one time, and after a few seconds, he turned to them and gave an exact number. I remember hearing my father say it was a number in the 300 or 400s. Let's imagine for a moment the number was 382. There are 382 apples on the tree. He continued walking with the Gedolim, and two Bachrim stayed back to examine, were there indeed 382 apples? One Bachar went around the base of the tree for the lower ones, and another one took a ladder and went to the higher branches to count. And the Gedolim came back. The Bachar approached Rabbi Yeshua Leib and said, after counting, there's 381, not 382. At that point, Rabbi Yeshua Leib said to them without missing a beat, count again. They started to count again, and all of a sudden, from behind a thick, wide tree, the trunk, a little boy, 6 years old, ran out, red face. His hands were behind his back. And behind his back was apple number 382 that he had plucked and he was eating. And then it became clear that indeed the number was 382 and not 381. And at that point, that Moshe Rosenbaum, this elderly, had turned to my father and said, I know the story. I know how accurate it is because I was that little boy that plucked the apple, number 382. And this is a story that my father, Zatzal, said. In fact, the end of the story is, he says, when I returned from America, I told the Rosh Hashiva this story, and I ended with hispilus. I was incredulous. It must be that the mayach, the brain, the mind of Rabbi Yeshua Leib was like an IBM, meaning a computer. At which point, Rabaran said, one, a thousand, thousands of computers. That's what his mind was like. A little bit before my father passed away, when he told me over that story, I said to him, very often you find an expression in Chazal, Roy Hadover Lemisha Omrei. It's appropriate a story should happen with somebody based on something he says elsewhere. In other words, it's sugapast and makes sense. When I was visiting my father's Zatzal in the hospital, I shared with him, and with this we'll conclude the shir. We said that there's a pasuk that we read that he looked up and he saw Arba Meos Ish, 400 men. How did he know that it was exactly 400 men? So, of course, we're familiar with the pshat that the malachim that were sent, they told Yaakov that the number is 400. But even with that, if you open up the Sefer Mariel Diskin, our Torah, the great Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, when he addresses that question, the same Rabbi Yeshua Leib with the apple tree, the same Rabbi Yeshua Leib that looked up and saw a unit of 382, the same Rabbi Yeshua Leib that Rabaran said had a mind thousands and thousands of IBM computers. If you look at Rabbi Yeshua Leib on this pasuk, he says, even though we know that he knew because the Malachim told him that that's the number. With that all, and I quote Cesar Yeshua Leib, when he, Yaakov, lifted up his eyes, as the Pasuk says, Vayisa Yaakov Einav, he lifted up his eyes, Cesar Yeshua Leib, Ra'a the haven b'sichloi hatoid. He saw and he understood and he comprehended that the number that's approaching is exactly 400. Even though it's true that he was told that number by the Malachim, but Rabbi Yeshua Leib says that when Yaakov Avinu looked up with his Seichel HaTov, he saw that the unit that was approaching, that number that was approaching, that number is not 399 and that number is not 401, but that number is exactly Arba Meos Ish. So I said to my father, Zatzal, when I was visiting, I said, Roy Hadover Lemisha Omrei. Rebbe, it's so appropriate and so tzugapas that what's the pshat Rebbe Yeshua Leib says? Rebbe Yeshua Leib says about Yaakov Avinu that how did he know it was 400? Because he looked up and he saw a unit of 400. It's so apropos that Rebbe Yeshua Leib should say that pshat, because that is who Rebbe Yeshua Leib was. That is the mayach of Rebbe Yeshua Leib. As we said in the story with the apples, he looked up and he saw b'sichlei hatoiv that the unit of apples was 382. So I felt that both went hand in hand perfectly. That Rebbe Yeshua Leib learned that pshat in Yaakov Avinu that he saw b'sichlei hatoiv a unit of 400. Because that is who Rebbe Yeshua Leib was, as indicated in all the stories, but specifically the story of the apples. We should be zeicha from tonight's shir, Chetakabila Ilai, the neshamas that we said in the beginning. It should enhance our Shabbos Kodesh, and through the emuna, and through the chizuk, and the sarisa, the trying, the struggling, the persevering, together, we should always be matzliach. That would make us true winners.